everybody. Welcome back. MGM Marketabilities. We're having a great day.
We are having a great day. In the name.
That was a coaster. I'm really glad I had nothing nice over there, like a guitar.
Just, it didn't hit it, I promise.
I know it didn't, but it got close.
It stopped short, yeah.
Anyways, so today we're just going to talk about pretty much the best trends right now on businesses, on marketing, on strategy, like what you need to do to kind of move forward, maybe where you need to pivot if things are not going well and you're like, okay, well, maybe this isn't working. How can I move into the, you know, next phase?
100%. You know, there's never been a better time to start a business than now.
Yeah, I just, it's again and again, like I just don't know why you wouldn't have a little side business for yourself, even if it's not even making that much money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so beneficial in so many ways of like, not only like tax wise or money or all that stuff, like all that stuff kind of put to the side, but even just your own personal development and fulfillment is like, it's a complete game changer because you're self-reliant.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who have worked jobs their entire life or whatever, like you're not self-reliant. You're kind of relying on all the people around you and your boss and, you know, whatever. But whenever you start something by yourself, you're like, okay, I got to do this. I got to do that.
You know what? I'm going to be transparent with you and I'm going to be very vulnerable with our audience right now. It is frustrating when you tune into these shows all the time and it's like, go, be the best you can be and do this. And I did this yesterday and I'm doing this today and I'm going to do this tomorrow. And next week I got this going on. I'm in a bit of a slump right now.
I am too.
I really am. And I've been praying about it. And it's I know what's coming. The next wave is coming.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important. And we've talked about this. So maybe this is what that looks like where there is a time you do retreat. You know, you're mad at yourself every day because you're like, I could have done this yesterday. I could have gotten a little bit more ahead. You know, I should have gone after this new business. And I know I'm going to do all of those things, but a bit of a slump right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Have you ever read The Dip by Seth Godin?
I've heard about it. Okay. Yeah.
So, and just so anybody else is in a dip right now, because I think just it's always this time of year, like February, March.
Maybe.
For me, at least, because it's like coming off the high of Christmas, and then like my wife's birthday is in January, and then like we just, you know, we were fortunate to go on a vacation and stuff, but like even then, I'm just not always like 100% excited right now to walk in and work,
right?
But I am often, like, right. I usually like that. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, let's get this done, let's see what I can do and make it happen and do new things and stuff. But what basically the dip is all about is like, you're going to hit a really bad period. And sometimes the bad period will last a while. But what comes after that bad period is usually the glory. Like usually the, you know, what you've been sowing, you know, you all of a sudden start to reap.
The slowdown before the sprint, you know, that you're going to do it again. And it's cyclical. It really is. So I just shared that today because I don't want you to think that we're always up and always pumped. And because we've got a lot of things are happening right now. And it just takes a little bit of paperwork to put it together and a couple of meetings and you could get it done. And I get frustrated with myself when I procrastinate and I don't get it done.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And sometimes that comes as a result of too many people wanting something from you right now.
You know, what did someone say? They said the heaviest thing that you could ever bear is not making the hard decision.
Oh.
It's like all the weight and the anxiety and all this stuff that you feel, it's just because it's just a bunch of unmade decisions.
It's unmade decisions, yeah. But you know what? Here's the other thing I'm going to share with you guys. Sometimes it's God's timing.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about that today. So I know that a couple of people are waiting on me to do a deal, but it's a comparable deal that I've done before. And I think maybe I showed my cards a little too soon last time. And maybe I'm waiting because I need them to make the first move, which doesn't happen too often because, you know, we're the marketing advertising agency, and maybe we want to collaborate with people. And that's one of the big trends right now is, you know, how can you work together? It's like business collaboration for growth and that type thing. And you're really multi-purposing ideas, planning, that type thing. Maybe I want to see what they're going to bring to the table first.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you've been in the business for what, 20, 30, 30
long
years?
Long time, yeah.
I don't even, how long have you
been? 122 years.
I mean, she looks in so good business. For 122 years, and just in business.
I'm 140. Human, I'm kidding. Yeah, I was a news anchor for 20, 25 years, and then mm-hmm. been doing this for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you learn a lot. And sometimes, you know, that's the other thing is I've noticed with some of the younger people we have in house, it's like, well, we talked to them today. Let's go ahead and get their proposal over.
Mm-hmm.
No, you go home and you think about it. You yeah. really take in what they said they wanted. You know, then you sit down with it. Nobody expects it. Same. If they do, they'll tell you like, hey, by the way, I'm sorry I put you, you know, in this position, but I really got to have this by tomorrow morning because the person sure. who owns the company is going to make a decision.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sure. Then drop it, right. You know. But it's okay, I think, to mull it over, to look it over, to study them or the person who wants to do business with you and see how you're going to fit together. And then that's when you sit down. Although I told you the story this week where we do a lot of estimates, you know, and I'm sure a lot of you business owners out there do the same thing where somebody says they want to do business with you, whether it's spray for pests in your home or whatever, you know, and you write up, here's what you think it's going to cost.
Yeah.
Well, this fine young man calls and says, hey, I've started a business. You know, I've got this name. I've got a website. I'm just thinking I want to utilize some of your services because we have a long list of services on the side of our building that we offer. And I said, okay, well, we can tell you what we do. I'll send mm-hmm. over some pricing, you know, line item veto, tell us what you want to spend, that type thing. And it was one of those days where, man, I'd gotten quite a bit done, but I just didn't want to do that. I sure. didn't want to do the estimate that day, in part because I don't think I knew enough about him yet.
Sure.
And so I sent over a quick text and I said, you know, we've got a lot of ideas here with a lot of different prices. What do you want to spend monthly? And when we say that, we tell people, what can you spend comfortably?
Yeah.
Every month, like for 3 months minimum.
Minimum, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want you to dread writing that check, like, and we don't want you mortgaging anything to pay that bill.
Yeah.
And good thing I did that. So, should I finish the story? Or
well, no, I think that the whole thing is like, you need to understand a budget too.
A budget.
Like that's always thing you need to, clarify like, hey, you know, I need to know your budget. So how we can work within that. And then these are the options of us working within that budget.
Right.
If they don't have a budget, then that's either a good or bad thing.
Yeah. You got to
go either way.
That should be part of your business plan. You know, truly, if you're just starting out, and here's another piece of advice for free, complimentary. Don't go naming your business. Don't go starting your website until you connect with people who could possibly help you.
Right.
Because when you tell me the name of your business and right off the bat, I don't understand what you are and what you do, I don't know how easy it's going to be for other people to feel that way,
right.
You know, as well. I understand we can accomplish that with taglines and things like that, but almost, you know, you got to include that up front because how frustrating is it when we're in bigger cities and we see these big, tall buildings with names on it? It's like, what is that?
Right.
You know, what do they do? Yeah. And you have to Google it and then you find out. But yeah, unfortunately, he didn't have much of a budget. And I said, you know, I appreciate you calling us, but there's a certain amount of money that you got to have set. And it's not a lot. It's really not a lot. And I didn't want to insult anybody. So what I did was I responded by saying simply, here's a baseline package of how we can get you started.
Mm-hmm.
So that at least gives them something to work towards.
Right.
And it's very attainable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, you know, we talked about some of these things, the other trends that come up from time to time, and people say that we should talk about the networking marketing, which we just addressed. Franchising is still a big thing, you know?
Yeah, totally.
People are starting. I mean, you ever thought about franchising the audio business you have?
Not necessarily the audio business.
Okay.
But I just like franchising because it's like, it's almost like you are setting someone up
mm-hmm.
like if with basically everything that they need.
Yeah.
But the risk is still on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that brings me to my next question. You seemed very reluctant when I said that about franchising your audio business. Is that because your business is you?
Yes. And my business is very service-based. So in the audio industry, people like a particular way someone works on their music. Like,
sure.
It's like the way I mix a song is not the way someone else mixes.
Right.
It's going to sound different, but it's the same tracks and the same, you know, raw track. It's the same raw material.
But can you teach that? Can you teach the Lucas? Can you teach the Lucas Winkler way of doing things?
I don't know, because it's like our ears are not the same.
Okay.
And our environments are not the same. We don't think the same. And that's okay. Like, that's why there's a lot of audio engineers out there who, you know, they like, there's different styles and they're all good, but they're just different.
That's interesting.
And so yeah. it's hard to, that, and then that's also why some audio engineers can charge five grand a song to just mix it. And just they come in.
Ear. You're paying for their ear.
Yeah. And they come in for an hour, hour and a half, mix the song, leave. And like, but you know, they're very desirable. I don't like that personally. Yeah. I think that's a little bit too much money. I think you're ripping off an artist because honestly, like, you can get a great mix with a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Me included.
Hey. But it's interesting that conversation because I think 10 years ago, if you would have asked me about franchising Growing Media GM, I would say, I too thought I was the business. You know, I was in on all the commercial shoots. I would be in the edit bay. I would, you know, I felt like I had to be part of everything. And I realized probably 5 years in that I can't go everywhere to be as successful as we want to be. And now you just have to bring on those people. It's not franchising per se. It's just trusting other contractors to do what you do within your brand name.
Right.
So, and we've had a lot of success doing that. Now, we've been bitten a couple of times too, where maybe we sent some people out and they weren't quite representative of who we are or what we do. It doesn't mean that they weren't liked, but they definitely were not probably what that client was accustomed to with us.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing you got to worry about there. E-commerce is still killing the game. It's people.
People love buying stuff online.
Yeah. Don't they?
Yeah. They love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind it either. Like, you can find almost anything online now.
I miss those days because it's been proven scientifically that you release certain things in your brain when you shop or you smell things. You know, you walk into these great shops and they have these smells and just the experience. Well,
I'm going to bring it back to, so I went to Disney Springs. Have you ever been there?
Just showing off. Yeah. I think I did one time. And it's what, like, is Disney Springs? What is that?
It's free. It's basically like a outdoor mall. And they have a bunch of really nice fancy restaurants. It's on a lake.
Yeah. Okay, I know.
And shops and stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, I just forgot what it was like to go in and out of shops. Like,
And
so, like, we went in a bunch of them, and some of them, like, you smell and you touch stuff. And it was like, this is weird.
You know? It was an experience, though, right?
It was, yeah.
Do you miss it?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of not, you know? Yeah. I mean,
they didn't have the black t-shirt that you wanted, did they? See online,
they
man.
They never do.
They never.
Never black enough.
It's so cool, though. You know, we were, and yes, you're right. I found myself the other day, and I do this from time to time. It's another key, they say, to making money and being successful is you don't spend money. And, you know, I had stopped and I had put into place, I'm not going anywhere. Even I have gift cards from Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm sure I can go to my favorite little place. And no, if I go with my little $50 gift card, they're going to go, Angie, it's $250 now. You just overspent, you know, past your gift card. Now they swipe the gift card. And it's like, your balance is $200. Okay. I really messed up there. But so anyway, e-commerce, we know that business processing outsourcing or business process outsourcing, that's a big one. That's something I was talking to somebody just this week. She's kind of an admin assistant type.
Okay.
And believe it or not, she longs, because she's worked in her home, she longs to get out of her home and go into an office setting with people, with other people.
Right.
But I told her, I said, man, you know, you're on the cusp of, you could offer that to a lot of businesses. You know, heck, maybe go sit and pretend like you work at the one, but do all, for the others as well. I don't know how that business owner will feel about
sure,
doing that.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's big. If you've got, you know, kind of like that knowledge-based commerce that we talked about, people are paying for what you know. People are paying for those skills. And how many companies do you know right now who will tell you, I need that person who can keep up with the daily doings, you know, the paperwork, the ins and the outs, and it's sought after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People need those, how do you want to say it? Like,
Well, like back in the day, there database. Were secretaries, data entry, administrative assistants. Now it's just kind of like an accounts manager.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And making sure that like, the software you're using is running smoothly.
That's what, is know. That more IT?
Not necessarily. It's more so that like, you know, you're setting up the background software right. for the rest of the team.
Right.
You know, just like here we use Monday. You know what
we
I mean?
We do, Monday.com.
And so, and someone has to go in and kind of set it up and facilitate it. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, that is a tough job. Very time consuming as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are still the emerging trends in business. And, you know, I had a conversation just this week with somebody who said, man, I'm really getting burned this year on mm-hmm. taxes because I had that, a W-2 yeah. employment. And apparently the company or the business did not hold out taxes like they were supposed to. And now this person says she owes like $4,000. And I'm like, girl, here's the chance for you to take your business and find those deductions and such. Because she was working at that place when she started working as an independent contractor. Oh, so okay. I think she can find some more deductions she wasn't really thinking about. So
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, that's the other thing is, that is the beauty of having any one of these side hustles is, you know, it helps you come tax time, those deductions. And, you know, the other thing that we brought up in that particular conversation is keep track of everything that you're doing. Cause how many times do you give your services away? Or how many times do you donate your services where there's still a tangible amount? You just need to talk to your accountant because to me, that's a charitable contribution. That's a tithing. That's a giving back. In particular, if you've helped a religious organization, mm-hmm. you've helped a church,
right.
You know, you just wanted to give of your time. And whether it was with we've been approached by a medical group to do some things. Mm-hmm. So I'm fairly certain if there's a skill and there's an exchange of services or there's a little deduction there, I think.
So you can't actually do the services anymore, but there is a loophole.
Okay.
For us.
Okay.
As we are renting them our gear.
Yes.
To be used.
Yes.
And so that's kind of like your loophole is like if you are doing like a video shoot for a non-for-profit for, you know, for free, you will send them a mock like invoice saying like you guys rented the cameras from me for this 4-hour shoot or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be a tangible product.
No longer services,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they kind of...
They got privy to that. Yeah. They were... Ooh.
Because, I mean, where does that stop?
Right.
The services.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what they were kind of getting at for that.
Well,
yeah.
for us...
But always... I want to say this on our podcast because we never do. Always consult like an actual tax advisor because we're not tax advisors. Like contact someone who actually knows.
My tax advisor laughs at me sometimes when I rest. He goes, really, Angie? I think not. And I'm like, but why? It makes sense. But it's interesting. So I'm curious and I'm going to, I just made a profound statement. I'm curious because for instance, we do, for an organization, it's a charitable cause. Mm-hmm. We do the same amount of work as we do for some commercial clients and we charge a third.
Right.
Does that again become sort of some sort of a rental agreement? Is that the only way to get that through or get more credit?
I think since we're actually creating a tangible product.
Right.
You're actually editing a video.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Or a
graphic.
Yeah.
That's the product.
Okay.
So that would be a write-off.
Okay.
You're not providing a service. You're actually providing a product.
Okay. The service was the production, but the end result is a product because you have a tangible. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah.
So does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like if I show up and run sound for somebody for free,
right.
That's just a service. That's not like a tangible product that someone can hold in their hand.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But if you produce a video for them that they can put in their phone and they can use it whenever they want, that's a product.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Still check with your.
But yeah, still check with your tax advisor because I think there are certain rules for certain industries.
Yeah.
You know, they make it so complicated to do taxes that it's really hard for
the normal person
to figure it out. You have to like consult an actual professional to actually do that.
And the tax code and laws change like yearly. I mean, they can add like this much, you know, but here's the deal. You want to have somebody who has read that or you've taken the time and on TikTok and all these social channels. Sometimes if you see those folks, stop and listen to what they're saying because I've learned a lot from those people. Yeah. Things that they don't, I don't think they want you to know.
Oh, man. Heck no.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff. So, well, we appreciate you watching and listening and writing in and letting us know you're there and mentioning, you know, that when you see us out that you're watching and listening and come be part. You know, if you own a business and maybe you've had some triumphs, some failures, you know, and people can learn from it, we'd like to have you on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So look us up. Marketabilities produced by growingmediamarketing.com. Bye.
Bye.